Sorry, you have damaged a colleague's car this week.
I have damaged a colleague's car.
Should we
no,
get on to
I
that?
Didn't. I didn't.
No, you did, though.
Please explain the story of how you came to ruin another colleague's car. Hello, welcome back to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, episode number 17. This episode, this time with Echo.
This has got a bit of echo.
Why does it have echo, Will?
Because we are at Thruxton Circuit, because we've been filming two videos, actually. We've been filming with the Cayenne, but mostly with our 90s hot hatches.
Yeah, the guys here who are A, nice enough to let us go on the track, which is nice enough. They also said you can also use our foyer thing if you want to do a podcast. So apologies for the echo, but if you're watching, you'll see we're in a new place. Mm-hmm. Just temporary, just for this episode. But at the beginning of every single Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, we answer the question, do cars rule everything around me or us?
And you.
William, this week, what is it for you?
I'm going to remain rule, even though I've got the Clio, which I've described before, still sort of out of action, but it's, you know, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Range Rover's still the same, 350s, everything's the same.
I do notice that the Clio is parked at the unit.
Yeah, it is there. I'm in the middle of a move, so temporarily he's living there.
He lives there.
It's good because it means he's a reminder now.
I was going to say,
he's not out of sight, out of mind.
Also, it's scary for him. It's like, okay, you better sort yourself out or you're going
to
die here.
Am I going to where the limo goes?
Yeah. please, master, not here.
He's looking at all the shells around him. No. No, I will get to it. But yes, hopefully on some weekends or after some shoots soon. But,
so all you need is that little, your mega fuse. Sorry.
Yeah, unless there's a short in the wiring.
And then it's back to basics.
Then it's back to tough times, really. they do last, despite being perhaps tough people.
For me, this week, I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm going to say tentatively rule, which means it's going to be a ruin next week.
Yeah.
Because I spoke about it on a few podcasts ago. I was looking for a car for my girlfriend who wants in a bath. So what I did instead was we looked at two that weren't that good. Mm. So instead I've bought a stolen one off Copart.
You stole it?
No, someone else stole it.
Someone else stolen it.
No, I bought a Copart, a Bath 500 that was previously stolen and it's got no ignition because the ignition's been ripped out of it. But it was cheap. So
is she pleased about that? Does she know?
She does know, but she doesn't know the full story.
Okay, fair.
She thinks, I said it was stolen.
Yeah.
But I think she thinks it's cleaner than it is.
Okay.
So that'll be a video quite soon because we will do a video getting that going because it was cheap. It was very cheap. Fiat 500. So I'm going to say rule for now because I want it cheap, but it's on the way down the country to be delivered to us tomorrow. So tomorrow morning, ask me again.
Okay. Could be a big ruin.
Benjamin, behind the camera. Also, sorry, we didn't introduce
Hello.
You. Ben
Hello.
Is behind the camera.
Rude.
Please say the line.
Hello.
Lovely.
We're here in echoey room.
Rule or ruin, Ben?
It's a ruin.
It's a ruin.
It's a ruin. Because if you lean just to your right, that's your left, your right, and people watching can see a lovely X5 out there. And parking next to two not very interesting cars.
All right, keep it down, mate.
I was driving that car, and he made a little bing noise. I thought, oh no! And he's upset.
What's he upset about?
We've got no four wheel drive.
He's decided to give it up.
He's a drift car now. He's rear wheel drive.
2025. He said, "New Year, new me. New Year's resolution. No more front wheel drive."
I know. He'd been doing it for a while. It's this steering angle sensor.
Yeah.
Been doing it for a while, and basically you can reset it, but he's done. He's gone.
He's not happy. No more calibrations.
No. So it's...
Although, slightly better on fuel.
That's true. Surely that's not true.
Why?
Because surely it's less efficient because it's not got as much grip.
Oh. Are you wheel spinning everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, Ben is off the rev limiter everywhere
sure
he goes.
When you're in just rear wheel drive, you'll be using less fuel. Ever so slightly. Because there's less... Same way you would lose power through the transmission.
Is there no rolling, what do you call it? Is the transfer case, he doesn't let anything go up to the front now?
Because it's like electronic, yeah.
Ah, okay. So maybe, perhaps.
So Ben, you are full rear.
See Ben in the British Drift Championship.
No. In the X5.
Doing 35 mpg.
33.6.
33!
That's actually...
It's not bad.
But because you owned that car before Ben.
I was getting 29.
Hold on. What could be different here? Because you both drive on the motorway.
Yeah,
at the speed limit.
I didn't crash into anything.
That's interesting. That's a tough one. But sorry, you have damaged a colleague's car this week.
I have damaged a colleague's car.
Should we
no,
get
I
that?
Didn't. I didn't.
No, you did though.
What?
Rory's car.
Ah, that's true.
Range Rover.
I was, for a minute, I was worried that someone had crashed into one of my cars and hadn't told me yet.
Before we get there, though, yes, it just, it's a ruin, but because the reasoning is I have to now buy, because I already have a suspension level sensor issue, which I've been putting off buying, and now it has another sensor I've got to buy.
Ben, so, mate, you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's just cars.
I want your ruins.
That's yeah, not
Ben's ruins are like, Ben's oh, like, oh, my battery's spend, gone dead.
I have to spend £30. Oh, there's a bulb out. Oh.
It's actually not a bulb out.
exactly. Point proven. Okay. Please explain the story of how you came to ruin another colleague's car.
Now, before we go any further, this is a quick shout out to this week's sponsor, Holy. They've been a huge supporter of the channel, both the podcast and our main channel and our second channel. And we genuinely always use their products.
Yeah, we do. If, like us, you guys struggle with staying hydrated, then Holy's super low calorie alternative to traditional expensive energy drinks might be for you.
Holy ditches sugar, taurine, and anything artificial. So you end up with 100% natural fruit flavors and a low calorie, great tasting drink.
And Youth 2025, when you order their starter set deluxe kit, you'll get 42 portions of their most popular flavors from their iced tea, energy, and hydration line. And you'll also get a free glass bottle too.
Also new for 2025 is Holy Milkshakes. Now they are packed with vitamins and they're sugar free. And there are three flavors. We've got hazelnut, banana, and vanilla.
Vanilla's the best.
Now, they are just as easy to make as the usual Holy drinks, and we actually really, really like them.
So, if Holy sounds like something you need in your life, grab a starter set deluxe kit or a milkshake kit or both.
So, make sure you use code CREAMPOD5 to get £5 off your first order.
And then use CREAMPOD for 10% off any order thereafter. Thanks, Holy.
So, again, because I'm mid-move, I haven't been using the Range Rover recently. Not because it's broken, but because it's full of stuff. So, came to the unit. And we needed to move some tyres for the Cayenne, basically. But where our unit is, it's
a flood area.
It's quite wet. It's quite moist. For whatever reason, just our local area is just underwater.
There's
a very particular road.
The Wiggly Road.
The Wiggly Road.
The Wiggly Road.
We don't actually know what it's actually called. It's just called the Wiggly Road.
It's the same road that we jumped the Cadillac on.
It is the same road we jumped the Cadillac on. And it floods quite badly. I've driven down there before in the Range Rover on off-road height, and it was fine. And Rory said this morning.
But how high was it?
I'd say up to my knees.
So, ooh.
I'd say
while I was on my knees.
I was laying down, but
there was no rain.
But it was very, very
a
deep.
Good way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, when I drove through it.
Well, I'm just saying,
I can't remember.
General,
I'd say shin height.
Oh, okay.
Sort of mid shin, but quite a long shin.
Mm.
Like a cow shin.
Like a 32 long.
Like a braised shin. But Rory drove through it that morning and he said, I drove through that this morning. It was great. He said he went past a woman who'd hydrolocked her car and he splashed her on the way past because he's from Birmingham.
Fair.
And then at lunch, we were like, so this is, you know, maybe 6 hours have gone past at this point. He said, yeah. We asked if we could borrow the Range Rover to go and pick
to transport the tyres.
And we thought, well, look at that road. It'll be fine. It was fine. Kept driving, like waded through a little bit of water. It was all good. Then it dried out, came around the corner. Spotted the murk
that Rory saw
that morning. He was still, that car was still there, beached at the side of the road. And then suddenly the front end just dropped on the Range Rover. It like just suddenly went into a very deep bit. And I could feel the front end go really light. It just as if like the water was starting to bring it up. I slammed on the brakes, reversed all the way down that road.
I had to crawl into the back, open the boot because the rear wiper wouldn't work. So you couldn't clear the rear window.
No.
So I was leading out the back of a Range Rover going bit to the left. No, right now. So if anybody happened to be walking their dog through that forest near the flood, we would have just seen a reversing Range Rover with a man out the back going, no, stop. No, you're going
to
crash.
Because there's quite big verges either side. Like obviously it's to do with the flooding. And if you drop down one of those, you're just going to roll over and crash. Also, but yeah, we reversed all the way down.
Yeah. And also it was like being in a boat. Like legit, it was that deep.
Yeah.
You just couldn't see that there was no road. It was because the reason it floods on either side, there's a lake.
Yeah.
So Rory drove for it in the morning and it was quite bad. And then throughout the day, the lake then spills into it. So you look left or right and for a good quarter of a mile on either side, it's just water.
It's just water.
It was like sailing.
We were in off-road mode, which on a Range Rover, a Range Rover is already quite high and an off-road mode is another 2 inches. It's like 2 inch lift, basically.
Hey, that's a lot. But so we got back, safe and sound, got the wheels,
good.
Everything was fine. Yeah. And then Ben came out from the unit and went, just go ahead and look over at Rory's car. And I maybe 10 seconds just stared at it and was like, I don't, what is the issue? And then he pointed and I went, what was the issue?
The number plate was gone. It was gone.
So if you have to find
a testament as to how deep the water was.
Yeah, it was around that level. So if you happen to find a Range Rover, Rory's private plate, Please feel free to do crimes with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You just may need to do some scuba diving.
Yeah. There might be a boat with his plate on it at the moment.
So I'm very sorry, Rory. I offered to replace it, and he said, no, this means I can now damage your car and get away with it.
I'm not quite sure how it is.
There's a limit.
Yeah, but
you can't just write it off.
That's quite nice to have in your back pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
So if anything happens, you're like, we're square now.
But yeah, but it's not as bad as crashing into someone's car.
It's not as bad. No, because those big raindrops, they're in the way.
That was a big raindrop.
Do you want me to do it for you? Send me in. I'll damage. No, I got to damage your car.
Do you remember the best thing about this? What? Ben seemed to think that he'd lost Crasher Ben as a tag.
I hate this.
I posted the Rory's plate being gone on Instagram. It's like, where's your plate, mate? And lots of the replies were, did Ben hit it?
Great. It's good. This is great.
It's not how plates work, though, is it?
Mate, you could tap it and it might come off.
I love this joke.
So you are a precision crasher.
Yeah.
There were comments in the last one being like, oh, stop bullying Ben. Ben walks into it. Ben does it on himself.
He drives straight into it.
Sure. Really quite like it.
It's my favourite thing.
Yeah.
Right. Is there any news this week?
There is news, but the only news I thought valuable is that BMW have made an M3 CS Touring.
Ah, yes. The wagon touring.
Yeah, the car that everyone else has already made. Yeah. Now BMW are making it. Also, it looks exactly the same as how other people have imagined it to look.
I always think that because, okay, E46 M3 came out and then BMW went, we made a CSL and it was unique, if you see what I mean. Like it had its unique little dot. No one was doing that. Mm. But the problem is BMW now, a car comes out within a day, there is one making 1,000 horsepower with angry fins and bits and bobs all over it and different seats. Yeah. So BMW brings it out and everyone's like, I know, I've seen this.
I've seen that.
My mate has that down the road.
Oh, this looks the same.
It's modified.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe special edition cars have lost their touch now that modifying them is more common.
Yeah. Because people just get on it straight. A car comes out, car's got warranty and everyone's like, right, that's it. Carbon this.
Yeah.
I'm ripping the bonnet apart. I'm cutting up the arches. I'm doing this.
The moment a manufacturer breathes in to tell you about a new car, Maxton Designs is rubbing their hands going, I'm about to make some splitters for this guy.
I did wonder. I saw a lot of, I think it was Evolve. Sold their M3 Touring. There was a few other people that were selling a Touring. I think some people caught wind of the fact CS was coming and were like, right, let's get out.
Get back on.
Because suddenly everyone's going to go, I don't want a normal one.
But I see, at least when compared to like other generations, I see M3 Tourings a lot.
I see a lot.
They're around. And it's not even car enthusiast people. I see just normal people in M3 Tourings. So I wonder now if they're a bit like, if they've diverged from just car people. Because the sort of people buying new M3s are just car people.
Yeah.
They're all modified. They're all lowered. They're all, you know, it's not so much lease people anymore. But I see the Tourings.
They're more popular than I thought. But I thought the whole thing was it was meant to be, we're not going to do many of it. It's not a limited edition, but gimmicky. Like we might do it for, I just see tons of them.
They're just everywhere. Yeah. Also, a lot of times in interesting specs.
Yeah.
I saw one the other day. I feel like it might be in a factory color, but the techno violet, the purple color. Mm. And it was just an old lady driving it. Mm. Not modified, just standard. Cool.
She's doing skids.
She better be.
Sending it.
She lean in. Sorry, love. How many stars have you got on your drift meter?
I forgot it does. That's
four,
cool.
4 stars. Yeah, no, not good. Get up five.
But yeah, that's the only, there's probably other news, but it'll be... EV.
Do you know what the bigger news is? Is that both of our hot hatches are the best cars in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And make genuinely the most... So we're here at Thruxton. Ben is our contact here. He's very nice enough to go, yeah, you can come here. But he brought out, I believe it was another Ben, the CEO of Thruxton and the race sort of team around it, BARC. And he went, yeah, I could hear your cars going around. He went, turbos are quite loud. Yeah. Like quite clearly, they're all sitting in here, just hearing cars going, go straight past them.
We may have done a couple of handbrake turns, but we gave them what for. It's the hardest we've been able to drive those cars, and they're just very, very good.
And potentially, it might be about now, it might be not. Have a look online. They might be up for raffle.
It'll probably be in a week or so time.
Yeah, so coming soon, you may be able to win one of those cars. I'm actually, originally, you were really annoyed about having to give the course away, and I thought the Starlet would scratch the Starlet itch I had, but I really, really, really love it now. I was speaking to the guys at SSA, which is where when we tuned the Starlet for the videos on our YouTube channel, Top Load Center, I was speaking to them and I was like, I may need you to build me one. Like, I may need to buy another Starlet.
I gotta get me one of those.
Because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
You might think, just keep them, it's fine. But the thing is, when you keep cars around all the time, you're just gonna stack up tons of cars, which would be great, but then you don't use them. We're gonna move on to something else.
You're at three more cars right now.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of what we have.
No,
but we've just got things stacking up. If you start adding, because we're adding two cars at a time, then we go, I will keep those two.
Also,
we'll keep those two as well.
Also, it's kind of nice to give them away because we know that they'll probably end up back at a show or you'll see them around doing that. Because you saw someone sent you the Civic? The Civic's on black wheels?
The black Civic, the Type R we had. I can't remember where it was, but there was a photo that we got tagged in. It's now on like aftermarket wheels. In this photo, it looked great.
However, someone sent me, I keep getting tagged in it. It's a video of a EP3 that has been, confiscated for street racing and is being crushed.
Yeah.
And when the first person sent that to me, I opened it and went, that's our Civic. Because the front bumper was kind of matte looking. Yeah. And I was like, no, please tell me someone hasn't won our Civic and just got street racing in it.
Pick a slightly better. It was, to be fair, actually, that was nice when we were
at the end.
It.
At the beginning, it was rough. That was
not win too many races.
I think you're, as long as you got the rubbing sorted on it, it'd be fine. Yeah.
But it'd be good to have, it's good to have the cars go, but then be used by someone else rather than they just sit around with us and we move on to something else and then they gather dust.
Yeah, like our Starlet and like our Audi S3 and our 325, that we still have those. You potentially might have sold it.
Yeah, potentially.
But if not, shoot us, if you're actually interested, the Audi S3, which is not great, but maybe you want it for parts or something, shoot us a DM. They may be for sale.
Yeah, is this still available?
Yes.
Still for sale.
Disappear.
Yeah.
Ben.
Can I just have some sad news quickly?
I
read about just now looking for news.
Go on.
Apparently, UK this year going to produce the least car that's produced since 1950s.
Wow.
That's just sad. But
also, is that not because JLR, or Jaguar it's mainly, is...
Partly because of JLR going to like low output, stupid looking square cars.
Yeah.
Vauxhall plant shutting down, and in like Chinese EVs.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just making no cars.
MG said...
I'm seeing brands of car I've never heard of before.
Mm.
Yeah. I saw a
I saw one of those and an Xpeng.
I thought,
What is an Xpeng?
That's a golf club. The only other thing that I always think, and I've been thinking recently, how have MG come back?
Yeah.
How is it that they've been successful?
Why did they choose MG and not just make some other like random name?
I don't know
like
if they just, I don't know if they got lucky and it's enough old people just happen to be switching cars and go, oh, MG, I know that name.
Yeah.
I trust that name.
I guess there would be, because it's a relatively, it's not, it's sort of, it used to be kind of enthusiast, but for the most part, it's old folk.
Because it is
they might go, oh, I remember that name, and it's electric, it's modern, it's what I need to be in.
Yeah, but it is, in fact, it's just a Chinese brand with an MG badge on it. Right?
I've seen a few cyberbursters. I've seen like two or three.
I've seen one.
Which is two or three more than I thought I'd ever see.
I've not seen one.
Yeah,
I hate the rear lights.
Driving along
ridiculous.
That is one of the first cars that, and it actually worried me for a moment. I saw it before I'd heard it existed.
Mm.
So I was just driving and went, what is this watchdog's car driving past me? And then when I got in, I explained it to you and you were like, it's the Cyberster.
Yeah.
Looked it up. No idea that existed.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a watchdog. That's a crazy analogy. That's literally...
But most of them are. Like the BYD ones, the MGs, they all look like watchdog's cars.
That's crazy.
I was behind a Honda recently. Interesting news.
Wow.
huge news.
Huge news.
But Honda, I don't know if they obviously haven't changed their main logo, but it had like Honda in letters across the back.
Oh, yeah.
Almost
I've
like
seen, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
My first thought in the distance, because I'm blind, was Chinese car.
Mm.
And I got closer and it said Honda. I thought, is this someone replica? I don't know what it is. And then, that's what they're doing. It's like in like bigger kerning across the back rather than a traditional H with a model and then whatever else. It just says Honda across the back. I hate that.
No, yeah. Give me the badge.
Yeah.
I want the badge. Get the badge in, perhaps.
Absolutely get the badge in.
Get the badge in.
Keep the badge small.
Yeah.
Get the badge in.
Was it a Moda?
Omoda is the one I saw a dealership for.
Oh, what is that?
What is that?
Yeah,
it was attached to the back of a Ford dealer.
I saw the dealership for it. Yeah,
I looked at it. I was like, "Am I blind?" Omoda.
Who's buying these cars?
Someone is buying these
Which
cars.
Which absolute clown watching has bought one of those? Can we be honest right now? Anyone watch the podcast? Also, if you bought one of these stupid cars, comment.
This from three people who will only ever buy used cars in their lives and never buy a new car, which manufacturers do not care about us.
But are they cheaper than like a normal new car? What's the thing?
It must be cheaper.
Where do you service them?
My dad's, a friend of my dad's, bought one of those MGs when it first came out. Yeah. And it was, I think at the time, the cheapest way into a full-size electric car.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, cool. And he didn't know anything about cars, just was like, hey, I want an electric car and it to be kind of full-size, cheapest one, go.
It kind of makes sense to me. I would say it to my mum. My mum has a very short commute to work. And like, it's never ever doing that many miles. If anything, on a car, it's not that good to be doing that all the time.
Yeah.
So like an electric car, sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it does though.
Sure, I get Tesla. I can understand because I've.
Why would you get Tesla over just having a little runaround electric car?
If you're doing 5 to 10 miles a day.
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, like as a car, they're quite nice. It's just, I don't get all that these. It feels like they're pumping out these cars just because they can. Not because they're actually. I've been in a few Teslas and they're quite nice inside. Seem relatively well thought out. It just doesn't do much for me. But as like an electric car, I quite get that. Whereas, but these brands. Why should I buy an Omoda over like a normal brand I know?
But
about?
I guess that's like value. They have to get their foot in the door, and over time it will then become, because if you look at Lamborghini in the 60s, that was a small niche car brand. Like Pagani, the first people to go and buy a C12, that people were like, "What the hell are you doing? Why are you buying?" It's the equivalent of going out and buying like a Zenvo, where everyone's like, I don't know what this is. But now flash forward to now and everyone's like, Pagani, I know. Yeah, of course. I know what Pagani and a Koenigsegg is.
Yeah.
It takes a while to get your foot through the door.
Yeah. Also, I think some of it must be value. I don't know what they cost or whatever, or what the finance deals is, but it has to be, for a lot of people, it's cost.
Yeah.
Most people are buying a car because I need something that is going to be reliable, also gets me to A to B, isn't going to cost me a ton, doesn't cost me £8,000 a month.
Yeah.
So a lot of it must be that. No one's going to care. If they're not into cars, they're going to go, Omoda, £3 a month. Yeah. I fill it up for 8p a week. It is
like how I buy clothes. I wear things I'm given, like by the channel. If I have to buy clothes, I walk into TK Maxx, I buy the thing that fits me, and I leave. I don't think I've ever bought something that has a brand to it, because I'm like, it just doesn't bother me.
So if someone came up to you in TK Maxx and went, you know, you could go much faster if you bought these clothes. You could look cooler.
You could look so much
quicker. If you bought these clothes, all they will cost you is £65,000.
Yeah, I go, well, that's a great point.
Yeah, but I think I'll take these £5 shorts.
These £5 shorts have turbo flutter, so I'm going to go with these.
So you're telling me you're financing your clothes?
Perhaps. Okay,
a bit of Klarna on it.
Yeah, okay, Klarna.
Does exist.
I'm getting Klarna on my £3.50 underwear. That is unfortunately a bar.
As you're saying that, when you mentioned Pagani, I had some beef with Pagani this week.
Oh, Ben and Horatio going at it out.
I'll see you in the ring, Horatio.
Put your jukes up, brother.
I was watching a video and it was like an interior thing of the Utopia. Have you seen the font they've used for every single button in that car?
No.
Oh, what?
That's horrifying.
Oh yeah.
Look at the hazard button.
That is not.
That's a Turkish restaurant.
You know what that is? That's me in year 4 ICT doing graphic design. What is so? I have a big issue with that on lots of cars. Like for instance, E46s, people are going to get upset about this. E46 M3 dials are the only dials that there should be. A normal E46 has like italicized font.
Oh yeah.
It's horrible. The Starlet, Jay and I were joking about this earlier, it's Times New Roman. It has, you know, what do you call it? Serif, where the edges have. Why? Why are we putting 90s fonts in cars?
Have you seen
the Clio dials? If you actually look at them, they're one of the closest things I've seen to just Comic Sans.
They are.
Yeah.
But it, like, if
that says Isgara,
that would legit. If I was rich, which I'm not, and if I had £3 million for a car, which I don't, I would.
That's a good.
Genuinely not buy that car.
That's Horatio Pagani absolutely swinging at the air right
also,
now.
Also,
if he had the money, that's telling me he won't buy the car.
Good way to throw the tax man off, Ben. Oh, I don't have the money to buy a Pagani. Don't look into me.
Don't look at my Utopia or my tax bill.
Like, but surely you could go to Pagani. If you've got the money, you could go, put Times New Roman on.
Who's done that? Because the car's beautiful. The interior is beautiful.
Have you seen the guy, and now we'll overlay the photos, and I can't fully remember it. I think it's, you know, the 911 ST, which is, there's 1956?
Oh, the yes.
It's the very special edition. He got he got hit the kick plates and I think the embroidery custom made to be as dumb as possible. His 911 has on one door panel when you get in, says your mum.
Great.
Great.
And on the other side, it says live, laugh, love when you get in the car. Then embroidered in the center, in the, what's called the elbow pad, it says elbow hair. but like otherwise, it's a really nice spec. It's just a black, like kind of okay, clean.
Okay, so he hasn't gone like
kind of clean
hello, mate.
Comedy
but,
Harley
but
Quinn
your
type.
Elbow hair. Also, which is the best middle finger to the sort of people that buy and sell these cars who are like, yeah, this is the one of one spec. Yeah, yeah. The houndstooth is really lovely on this. So watching some dealer who's going to have to buy that car try and explain it as, well, it's certainly unique. It's the only one in its existence.
That's where you put your elbow.
It's for people who are visually impaired who might need it. Like, what are you doing?
The original guy, he loved his mother.
Yeah.
Which is why he put the name here. And then he was big fan of living, laughing and loving.
But props to you if you're going to go custom and go as dumb as that. That's cool.
Yeah. Go more offensive next time. Then you'll never sell the car. I'd like to talk about learners.
Ah, great.
I will not be ranting about learners. I want to ask, what is the weirdest learner car you've seen? Because I spotted something recently that made me think. Because I've seen a few learner. Like near us, there's a guy with a Fiesta ST.
Yes, yeah.
A Fiesta bright ST. Orange Fiesta ST. And it's a learner car.
There isn't. I've seen a 200, a special edition Fiesta ST.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the grey one. Is yes, 200? Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a 200.
Either L-plate or P-plate, because P-plate is almost just ooh, as... Like, it's someone who gets straight out of learning.
Yeah.
And they're into... something we saw some of that Type R that time.
Yeah, I have seen plate. When I was just starting driving in London, just when I started driving, I was in London and I saw a brand new Macan Turbo.
Nice.
With a P plate on it.
P. Nice.
What are we up to? That's why nice. Are we who's all right, yeah, just so this is launch control. Just gonna go hit that on here.
Insurance. You wanna do what now?
Sorry. Also people in London, I don't care. Yeah.
I guess P plate you could be like 40. But it's unlikely.
It's true, yeah, that is true.
But I was going into my local Tesco's behind an A8 when I spotted the L plate.
Sorry.
An A8.
Sorry.
It wasn't that old. It was, I want to say it was like a 2015 or 16, so it's still not mega expensive.
An A8.
But it's an A8. It's a big car.
Yeah.
It's a huge, if I had been given an A8 age 17, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
I think I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or if we just mentioned it off camera at some point, that it's interesting because people are now... Because most people are doing automatic, which I think is now the majority, is automatic driving license.
I can imagine that.
Because of that, I wonder, I bet you there's more people who are learning in their parents' cars because they can now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, if everyone's going, you have to have a manual license. Yeah. You can't learn in your parents' car because it's an auto.
Yeah.
So whereas now they're going, all right, jump in the A8. Crazy.
Yeah, but I just want to know, like, surely insurance is bad. Even if you're an instructor and you've got a what's the most extreme car you could get? I want to be a driving instructor for a day and like pull up with, not go too mad, not like a Lamborghini or something, but like a track car.
Yeah.
Like you have to bolt in like a 6-point harness.
So if you, also getting all buckled in, if you could please just exit the vehicle and show me how you top up your water fluid. Oh, for God's sake. But yeah, I've seen, there was a reel going around a while ago of an RS3 learner car.
Great.
Now, it was in Birmingham.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if that was an insurance workaround perhaps as well. Because I wonder if the insurance may be different on a learner car.
Interesting.
If you say I'm a learner teacher, what do you call it? Driving instructor?
That's the one.
You're a driving instructor. Teacher. If you're a driving instructor and this is your work car,
yeah.
But you're not taking on any students right now, I wonder if the insurance is better.
That's one to, think about.
Might have to hit up confused.com.
Perhaps A8. Like long wheelbase insurance, age 17 is just better if you're a learner.
You know what, everyone, 17-year-olds, hop just on the A8 game.
Don't pass your test. It's much cheaper
than learner forever. It's like people on mopeds.
But yeah, if you've ever seen an odd learner car or a P-plate car, let us know. Because I had to have a good look at who was in the driver's seat. I was like, what's going on? I wanted to ask them.
Yeah.
Are we doing an A8?
Were they young or was it
potential? It was young, yeah.
Really?
There was
someone with them.
There was someone with them, yeah.
So there was someone learning.
Yeah. So it's like not, but it's not a, it wasn't a, how you say, a teacher.
It was just a
driving
like
instructor,
a
which we've just got over.
A teacher.
It was a parent. A learner of the teachers. It was a parent.
Wow.
It might not have been a parent.
Crazy. Also, I wish I had learned
it. It was someone above 25. Do you know what? I would, it would, the size would put me off. But also just cruising around in an AA.
Average, cool.
You're not worried about stalling. You're not worried about
anything. Pulling up to pick your mates up in an AA. Yeah, yeah, mate, just stick the cooled seats on in the back. Yeah, we're just going to head off over to the cinema.
Do a parallel park. Cool, 360 cams.
Well, you know cars that have got
that all park themselves? Yeah. Can you do that? If you keep your wheel on, if you keep your hands on the wheel,
and just let it
and look like you're doing it.
Just let go.
And then you let it do it. And you go, ugh. I had a reversing camera in my really? Test car. And I asked him, I was like, what's the deal with that? Like, can I just use that? And he said, you can use it.
You can't rely on it.
You can't just be staring at the screen and not look at anything else.
You're just watching Subway Surfers on there.
I'm looking at the mirror, but my eyes are at the screen.
The rules are, because I only passed my test, not recently, but I passed my test 6 years ago. So basically you can use anything in the car that it comes with as factory. You can use that on your test, but you can't. But autopark is the one thing you can't use.
You're telling me I can use cruise control on my...
Yeah, you can. I was actually, one time, my driving instructor...
So you're doing 95, please explain that.
He loved cruise control, and he was demonstrating it to me when I first learned to drive. He used to just tell me to put it on all the time. So I'd be like going down like a residential street at like 25, and he'd be like, right, put the cruise control on. I'm like, what?
Your instructor said that?
Sorry, yeah, he's like, keep the speed nice and steady, yeah. I was like, I could just do that. What?
That's crazy.
But he used to, and like on the dual carriageway, every time he'd be like, cruise control. Like, he lived by it.
You know what? Cruise control for like average speed check is the best thing in the world.
Do you know what I haven't made use of is a speed limiter?
Never once. What's it for?
But surely for ensuring that you don't go above speed, but also like so you can slow down for people, it's great because it just, you could pin it.
Yeah.
It will never go above that
speed. That's true. I guess, they do work like that.
I just never used it.
I think I have it in the Merc. I might try it the way home.
I've got
single 140.
I've got it in both the X5 and the Clio, but the issue is that I feel like every car that has a speed limiter, I feel like it's the same system as cruise control. So why would I not just have cruise control?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can at least have you can have some control.
But I'm just mashing the throttle pedal. There's an average speed check through the entire Reading, which I go through basically every time I come to the unit. And you just press it at 50, sit there.
Use it like rolling launch.
Yeah.
Stick it in second.
Away you go.
Pin it at 40 and then let it go. But yeah. Any weird plate cars?
Stick them in.
Cars.
Shall we move on to the forum, which is something that we do in every one of our podcasts. We like to let you guys ask the question to us because car people, let's face it, are know-it-alls and it's sometimes a little bit nervous. You might be a bit nervous to ask a question to a car person. This is your opportunity to ask it with no judgment. So, Ben?
Today I have got the little machine next to me. I can press the button.
Nice.
This, I believe, is from Spotify, and it's a very simple name.
Spotify made this comment.
Spotify comment.
You're telling me made this comment.
This is from Jesse.
Oh, hello, Jesse. From potentially my sister.
What is the biggest red flag mod that you see done to a car, either for visual or reliability reasons, and why?
So I saw this, and my immediate thought is like when you're buying a car. If you see something and it immediately puts you off.
Yeah.
And for me, the genuine answer is a 3D plate.
Fair.
Because if I see that 3D plate, I know who you are and I know how you drive.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're more than welcome to put it on your car, but 99 times out of 99, you are someone who has just got into cars. You rag the ever-loving shit out of everything.
Yeah.
You have stage 4, perhaps even fully forged elbow delete. You're absolutely going for it. And I'm not buying that car. I found it in a bath. It was perfect in every other way. And it had 3D plates. This is the one I went to go and look at. And I thought, you know what? Despite my best judgment, I will go and look at this car regardless. Mm. Went there. It was absolutely trashed. It had been badly modified. The front tires were completely bald. The rears had, even though they were the same date as the rears.
Nice.
And the front tires were bald. The rears weren't. It had been ragged around everywhere. 3D plate. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Although to be fair, I may be in that very small percentage. I bought at that level. That supercharged M3 I bought had gel 3D plates.
But and did you
my
put
first
them on?
Thing? No, the guy I bought from put them on.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. You didn't choose to put them on.
No, but that's what. But I bought the car. I looked at it. I saw the plates. And I thought, you know what? That is a red flag. But the rest of the car was absolutely perfect. So he decided. I asked him. I said, "Did you put those on?" He said, "Yeah, I put those on."
Interesting.
And for a moment, I was like, "I don't know if I can buy this," but everything else was perfect.
Yeah. My point is that it's. Like the first thing that most people, the easiest mod to get into, if you see what I mean.
Mm.
Like you've just got into cars, you're like, what can I do? What can I afford? Something cheap to do. Cooled plates.
Yeah.
It's the first thing to do.
It's also, it's in a band of mods that I think some people pick over actually maintaining an automobile. Rather than leave the number plate that's on it, like they may look at their tyres that cost £8.50 and have no tread left at all and go, I think I will buy a chameleon tint.
I like that.
And some 4D plates.
You know,
possibly some LEDs.
I think there's a sale at Maxton Splitters.
I think I
might throw that on there.
I think I'll throw a couple of those on there.
Also, there are every variety of LED light in the world. I think I'll put them all in.
I think I'll put them all in. Maybe inside, some outside.
Just wherever they can be.
Yeah, there's blue ones, red ones, yeah. There's a footwell ones. You need to get to the interior to see this, but it's people put the ambient strip on things.
Oh yeah, the TMU special. Yeah, that's in there.
That I can already kind of tell where you're going with the rest of it. You could see that and go, right, I'm going to go 4 different brands of tire.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a service.
Yep.
You don't know anything about the car. 25 owners.
Zero service history.
Yeah. Chameleon tint's a nice one.
The service history is my mate did it. Mm. He is a garage, and you say, what garage? And they go, it's just him. He just does it.
No, he's a professional. He used to work.
He was BMW's head tech.
Yeah. But he left
years ago.
Too good. So I'd say 4D plates, chameleon tints, they're up there. Random graphics.
Yeah.
Random graphics. That's any manner of tint, actually. If it's, I suppose, particularly a badly fitted tint.
That's the thing.
Big red flag.
I hate tint. I'm just not a fan of tint in general, but bad tint is a different level to tint in general.
Yeah.
The one that was on the Cayenne, that's tough.
Tint that someone else has tried on the driveway.
It's not good.
Bits of dust in it. It's biscuit.
Biscuit and hair in your tint.
Also, tinted lights. That's a nice.
That's 100% a red flag.
Tinted plates.
Tinted plates, yeah.
No, a curbed wheel.
I can hear that.
Almost instantly, I can go, they don't care.
Also, a dirty interior.
Dirty, yes.
If I'm going through photos of the car and your interior is dirty, I'm most likely not going to come and look at that car.
I can't.
It's a personal attack on me.
Is on you?
You got
in my car
the other day and said that it was disgusting.
It is disgusting.
If you went to sell that car, would you leave that crisp packet in there?
No, I wouldn't.
I might have told this before. I went to go and look at a K11 Micra once. I got in and there was a KFC chicken bone on the floor. This was from a dealership.
That's crazy.
He said, and I jokingly went, have you seen the chicken bone on the floor? And he literally went, huh? Oh, no. And walked off.
Nice.
Are you joking me? I'm not buying this car from you.
Yeah.
Why am I going to pay you the money? You're a dealer. I'm supposed to be paying you a premium.
It baffles me, the lack of effort people put in it. Like for the majority of people, a car is one of the biggest purchases or things you sell ever. And yet people go, right, I'm going to take 3 blurry pictures. I won't clean it.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do? You're selling a car.
I'm going to say another red flag for me, photos that aren't in the same location.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh.
Are you going to say what I think you're going to say?
Snapchat.
Snapchat. If you take Snapchat photos and put them in your car listing, I promise you I'm not buying your car.
It's got a little caption on it. It'll say wicked little whip bro.
Yeah. Can't wait to be back in this.
Summer soon. Road legal soon.
Yeah. It never works. Just take... Also, spec list, starlet thing, spec list is always in the photo. It's never written.
Yeah.
Someone has screenshotted a notes app or a Snapchat.
Which means they've written it there. They've written it in their notes and gone, I couldn't possibly copy this into the ad.
Because also, it fits. It will fit. You can distill it down. I've had paragraphs and paragraphs in Facebook before.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
But there's so many there. Just visually, there are many, many, many red flags. I don't think I could pick one big one.
No. But 3D plates is something for me that if I see, I'm instantly like, I don't trust this car. I don't like the car.
If I go further on that, it would be 4D. But like if I see like ones that are tinted or they've got like a color behind, then I'm starting to think, you know what? Because someone who's got a 3D plate, I might go, do you know what? They might just be into getting modified cars. But then when you start throwing colors in there,
that's deliberate.
Or bad spacing.
Oh, bad spacing's a good one.
A bad spacing of plate where it says, if you're buying a car, let's say, I don't know what car you're buying, it'll say S3CU. I'm like, ooh.
It's not great.
You probably spent £1,000 on that plate when it cost someone else £250.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, your car hasn't had an oil service in 39,000 miles.
Also, this podcast is now just us coming for everyone in the car scene. And you know what? I'm fine with it.
It's absolutely no problem.
Ben.
Hello.
Do you have a red flag that might be different from that? Because I'm interested to hear. Ben might have a different take on something.
I think it's if I don't own the car, he normally just doesn't buy
it. Then he's like, sorry, is your name Will Chandler? I'm afraid I can't buy this.
I can't buy this.
I won't be buying this.
I can't buy this.
Ben's looking at that 350Z going, I have to buy that next.
I don't want that.
I don't know if I want it.
Will actually genuinely say that. I did drive that Range Rover and it was nice.
He did like that.
Joyce, he's just too big.
That's not how that works. Your car is nearly equally as big. Okay, then what's your red flag?
I want to say black wheels. If they're just black wheels. Like if you have, say, like for example, if the Starlet, that's on its OEM wheels.
Ah,
so if they were black.
So original, wheels that weren't black that have been painted fully black.
Yeah, because but, like badly.
I can hear that. I can actually hear that.
It's like a Fiesta with normal wheels and they're just black.
Yeah.
You're like a clown.
No, yeah, because I saw, what is it? It was in a bath and it had just silver wheels that had been painted fully black. The first thing I'm thinking is those were absolutely munched, like curbed, and it was a dealer and they've just give them a spray over in black to make them look like kind of normal. I looked at it, I was like, no, I don't trust you. Something's wrong.
So would you rather, like, say, as red flags go, you come to see a car, well, you've already seen it online, but anyway, it's got freshly refurbished black wheels. Or you get there and they've got curb marks everywhere, they're mashed.
Well, that's obviously worse.
Centre caps are missing, but they're silver. What's
The centre caps is the deal breaker for me there, because if the centre caps... Oh, then I'd rather the mashed ones, because I'll get them refurb silver.
But does it not say something to you about the owner?
Yes, it does, but I also, if it's the sort of cars I'm buying, I'm more... I don't trust them as much as to why they're freshly refurbed. Why have you just freshly refurbed them and then sold the car?
That's what you should do.
Why would I refresh it for someone else?
That's what I do.
You just clean it up and make it look nice.
Yeah. Genuinely, the best condition my cars are ever in is about a day or two. Probably in the last month of ownership. Yeah, I could not ever sell it with like the little bits that I've had to put up with, which is idiotic.
Yeah,
but I can't do it.
I can understand what you're saying, but I would never refurb wheels for that, because I would do it in my ownership.
Yeah, fair.
Like my M3, the wheels are mashed currently. Yeah. I need to get them refurbed. Yeah. But I will, but also I'll probably just buy different wheels.
Would you sell it like that?
You won't sell it. No, exactly.
100 grand.
That's a good point. I probably would switch it back to its original wheels, which are fine, clean.
The Max 5, I saw, there's one I saw the other day, which is the exact same spec, and it has those wheels, but they're just painted black. Immediately made the car look like a drug dealer car.
To be fair,
it looks like an actual scumbag's car.
I think it might be car to car for me on that. But even when I was looking for an X5, there are things on there that when you...
Yeah.
If I saw one with black wheels, or if it was like low... Like not, I might lower it, but if I see one that's already been lowered, it's I die. Not sure how I feel.
You're
like,
I know I'm correct, but you're not.
I'll do that badly, but you can't do that badly.
No, but I agree. It is car to car. There are certain things that you look out for, certain cars that have been, if they've been done or not done, it's worse. Mm. But that's a good question. Thank you very much, Jesse. Right, no argument this week. We're going to do another Carspiracy because we're really liking this. And I think we also will get some tinfoil hats going. There were some comments.
100%, yeah.
Then we'll get some of those going. Maybe not today, Thruxton. If the CEO of Thruxton and the BARC walks out and sees us wearing tinfoil hats in here, I don't think we'll ever be able to come back.
So, aliens.
Sir, excuse me, JFK, what do you think about him?
Well, we'll play the intro thing. Edwin Hayes.
Here we go. Ben's going to play the intro. Perfect. Now, you both have one this week. Do we start with a small one?
We can start with a small one.
A little one?
Small conspiracy to start with. I just saw this at the end of a Mark McCann video. He went on BBC News and talked about stolen cars.
Oh, yeah.
And he crammed a little conspiracy in there.
I saw this.
And they cut him off
early. They stopped him from talking.
They cut him off early. Basically, the gist I got from it is that stolen cars, if your car's stolen, what do you need?
You're going to need a new car.
You're going to need another car.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, you might not be buying that because insurance might be paying for it, but nonetheless, that's a car out the door.
There is a car sold.
And who, Jaguar, Land Rover, was struggling to get rid of cars? Now, would you care?
Gotta get rid of them.
If you're really making a profit or you know, if suddenly, there's hundreds of thousands of cars. I don't know how many cars are stolen. I'm assuming it's quite a few. But 20,000 more cars get sold or whatever. Because
also, if you better the devil you know, you go, my Range Rover's stolen. I got unlucky. I got unlucky. I'll just have another.
Yeah.
That one gets stolen. No.
I liked it.
Lightning could surely not strike thrice. I'll take another.
And the Land Rover come and go, hello, mate. Hello. Now, I know that was stolen, but your Range Rover did depreciate quite a lot.
Yeah.
So they're quite good value right now. So
it's interesting. I think he's plausible.
I think it's plausible, but I think you'd have to go right to the top.
I think it would be a case of deliberate oversight rather than they didn't go right. Yeah. Let's make these easy to steal.
Yeah.
But perhaps
there's no value in us doing it.
Yeah, but perhaps they're like, hey, we'll just, hey, leave it as it is.
Yeah.
We don't need to make that any more secure.
Yeah. But then, you know, like Fords were the same for a while.
Mm.
I don't know. Also, people are talking about it. It's like, no, you know, it's no such thing as bad.
No such thing as bad press. This car gets stolen all the time. Wow, that's great press.
Yeah, but then you might go, why is it getting stolen? Because it's a nice car.
Yeah, this is the nicest car.
You know why these get stolen? Because they're nice.
So that's an interesting one.
Land Rover take off the balaclava. Guys, come buy one.
I like that. I like that one. Ben?
That's very smart. That's kind of sent me a little bit to another dimension.
You're going down the rabbit hole.
Do we think Land Rover are stealing their own cars?
No, I don't think they're doing.
I think they're making, because they can detach themselves from the whole situation by just making the car easier to steal.
Yeah.
And then the criminals do the stealing because they're stealing anyway. Like, whether they're stealing carrots from the shop or...
Will the lawyer. Look, I mean, they're going to steal them anyway, so just let them off.
They're stealing anyway, but if it's easy to steal...
But you're thinking, oh, here's a smart one. You buy a Land Rover.
Here you go.
It gets stolen by Land Rover. They bring it back to Land Rover. New VINs.
Straight back in, new VIN.
New plate. No, that's sell it back
too,
to you.
It's too hard.
Yeah. That's not too hard. You've got to make a whole new car for your one.
Look at all the eyes that are on that. You've got to go in there, and the service tech's going to see it. His family.
You've got to pay them off.
They got to go.
They're all in on it. They're all a massive conspiracy.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot of killing.
That's a lot of, yeah.
Please don't sue us.
That's a lot of CIA having to take control of their car and drive them into walls.
Yeah. Every single Land Rover technician is a CIA operative. Yeah. Yeah. Who's like, everyone's just looking around the factory going, shh.
It's the KGB.
Yeah. Ben, your carspiracy.
My carspiracy is about Honda. It's from a name that I can't pronounce because it's just letters and numbers.
Give it a go.
B1A2E82.
That's prime car spirit. That's prime conspiracy, a username. 100%. He's like, I'm not letting the government know my name.
Or it's AI planting something.
Oh, it's dead internet theory.
Here we go.
Car conspiracy. I spoke with technicians at Honda. Don't know if this is true.
Here we go.
Apparently, not even just a theory. Apparently, this is true. At Honda, and there was a porcelain engine produced around 2009 with no wear to the parts. Not in production as service intervals were keeping dealerships running, therefore shelf life of serviceable parts was justified to keep their manufacturing and servicing in business.
Porcelain.
Porcelain, that's like your nan's teacup.
That's interesting. And did it have a pattern? Was it white with a little blue?
It was like a Weatherspoons plate.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, have we talked about this yet? But it's like the biggest conspiracy is planned obsolescence that... You know, cars are deliberately made not to last as long as they were. Yes, yeah. So I can buy the angle that maybe they made something that was too reliable in a way.
It's like the guy who made the water thing.
Yeah, that's like water.
It's been on Joe Rogan. I've never looked into it, but
water power car.
Yeah,
yeah. And then he went missing.
Is that true? I don't know.
I think it's straight up not true. I don't think you can.
No, you can, but it requires a massive amount.
Ben, you know what? Ben is the ultimate conspiracy man.
No, I like conspiracy. No, I have actually genuinely. It's physically possible, but it basically you extract the hydrogen from the water and then so it powers it. But the thing is that to be able to do that, you need an immense amount of power to do that. You couldn't fit it in a tiny car.
But he'd done it, apparently.
Well, there's allegedly a video of it running, but I mean, is it actually running on water?
Yeah. But
who knows? Is he
dead?
Yeah, he is dead.
Oh, okay. He's gone.
That's confirmed. Right. So he was.
So if anyone from the CIA would like to let us know, how it worked before you got rid of it, and B, how you killed him, that would be great.
Yeah, where he is. Yeah.
Was it the heart attack gun?
Ben's down the rabbit hole.
I love it. It's crazy. The only thing I don't believe about the Honda one is that it's Honda. Honda, it's not like the famously reliable as it is. I don't know why
they are quite good at innovating.
Yeah.
So maybe there was someone at Honda who went, we've made this.
And porcelain engine.
He's got to go.
We might need to do a bit more research into that before the next episode and work it out.
All I can picture is an engine made out of China.
Yeah, and I imagine it as shiny as China, like it's glazed. Like it's a shiny white engine.
If you have a front end smash, it sounds like a Lego brick.
Yeah. you tap a teacup on a saucer, it goes Yeah.
It's like a piston in a china shop. I don't believe it. If you told me it was some new metal or something else, I might.
Yeah,
porcelain, clay.
It's what the Saxons were making cars out of.
Also, if I go over a speed bump, I just hear a big shattering noise and my engine.
Torque wrench slips, you smash your engine. Oh, for God's sake, not again. Okay, I like that. You know what? We need to do a bit more research.
We'll come back to that.
So I'm gonna say what was the Mythbusters thing? Mythbusted. We can't really say that.
No. We can do plausible and not believing it.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. I don't like it.
No,
it's not interesting enough.
Also, I do believe it.
It's not Honda.
You believe it?
It's not Honda enough. It needs more. It needs more. They tested it in space.
Yeah,
you know, Honda like to do that sort of stuff.
How does porcelain VTEC work? That's my question.
Also, like, why?
For it doesn't wear parts, it's reliable.
But why would it not wear parts?
Because it's so smooth.
But hang on, you're telling me.
Imagine like, an oily teacup.
Like camshafts and everything is made out of porcelain. Valves.
Or ceramic, yeah.
This is where
no.
There are going to be a thousand metal comments.
In there. I don't make it.
Metal up against porcelain is absolutely ploughing porcelain.
Ever heard of oil?
All right.
Okay. Anyway, that's all from Ben this week.
Also, could you like lubricate that with just any oil then? Because I mean, the porcelain gets slippy easy.
I think
just
milk.
What you normally lubricate, that kind of is like a, maybe a lemon drizzle or something.
Yeah. It's all NAN products.
It's a Vicky sponge.
I've got to refill my tea bags.
Okay, I think that's too far.
Yeah, no, I think this is also very likely where we'll get 1,000 comments being like, no, it actually exists. Here's a video.
Plus the user it came from.
Yeah, that's...
What, B12348?
You have to sign your name. If for us to, you know, believe it a bit more, got to sign that name to it.
You can't be, I know a guy.
Send us proof. Because they said they didn't say that it exists. They said, I've spoken to engineers.
Yeah, see, but that's where it gets. Where? Where's he done that? Yeah. We just went to the factory.
Honda Swindon.
Yeah, walked in Swindon. Guys, anybody make a ceramic engine?
What kind of it? Also, they just came out with it.
Yeah.
They just came. He went, the random man goes into the factory and goes, what are you guys up to? Top secret engine, actually. Yeah. So this is how it works. It's a porcelain engine.
Shouldn't really tell you about it.
Actually, no one wants us to make it. I'm probably going to die now. Yeah, that's what I'm not buying it.
Right. I think that's, again, Carspiracy is one of my favorite sections that we do. Thank you very much for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, number 17. Thank you to Thruxton as well for hosting us. If you want to do a supercar experience, they have that here.
Yep.
You did an Aventador 1 year ago?
I did an Aventador on a single seater race car.
Yeah, they've got all sorts. There's Alpines, all sorts of stuff out there. There's a skid pad, there's go-karting, there's all sorts. Go and check out Thruxton and see what they've got if you want to do anything locally in the area. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week, as usual, perhaps with a guest. Perhaps not, but maybe we will have a guest.
Possibly a guest.
Cream, get the money.